Astro tuning in to 6 Views Uncut. Let's go, go.
Yeah, you already don't know what it is. LV7, tuning in to 6 Views Uncut.
Yo, shout out, it's your boy, 220 on the beat. Shout out, 6 Views Uncut. Boy, guts to guts.
You already know it's your boy, Black of the Don, and you tuning in to 6 Views Uncut.
Don, looking at lyrics, just trying to piece it all together. But bro, I love it. Like I couldn't think of anything better to do with 2 weeks than listening to like Toronto drill music I haven't heard before.
I just sent it to you, but you should see it now. This one slaps up the place.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I found it. It's here.
Yeah. When little devil is the heaven till they die, unfortunately, harm.
Toxic. Who's that?
I wasn't expecting that. This is a slapper right now.
Okay,
you did your intro for real.
Those goons, so get ready to scream. Toxic crew, fires, gas, and
Check. Damn, you guys went in. You caught me off guard with that one.
Who's that? Yo, really quick. It's your boy, God. But don't worry about Friday, because we got a super exclusive special guest. Yo, can you just big up the people then? If they know who you are, but just in case they don't.
Ah, come on. It's your boy Trap Lord Ross, man. Here we go. See him Friday in the cut. We love hip hop. I love hip hop. I love hip hop like right. Most, bro. I'm loving it. I love every hip hop. I'm just about hip hop. I'm a YouTuber. I make videos about hip hop history. Just try and making videos, the long, deep videos going into just like the most important stories that hip hop history has to offer. And yeah, I'm excited to be chopping up with you guys, man. My
Yo,
Canadian,
thank
my
you
Canadian
so much
brethren.
For coming out. Like I was saying behind the scenes, man, because you don't do a lot of these, but you're the YouTube guy. Like if you need to know what's going on in Jacksonville, UK, Toronto, you gotta go to Trap Lord Ross.
Appreciate that, bro. I try. I'm just obsessed with hip hop. If I wasn't doing this on YouTube, I would just be sat in my room researching everything about hip hop just for the sake of it, because I love it. And you know, it's a blessing to be able to make stories that other people enjoy. Glad you guys are rocking with it. And it's lit, you know. I'm excited to be connected with you guys. Cool.
Thank you. Really quick, do you have any shout outs? Anybody you want to big up?
Man, shout out the whole Toronto music scene, man. You know what I mean? I feel like a lot of people have been showing me love since I dropped my video. You know, people that I'd kind of come across before, but not necessarily like connected with. So, you know, shout out everybody that's been showing me love. Max Distance, The Hood Six, Keep Six Solid. Man, there's so many. I'm gonna forget to show some love to people. So I'm sorry if I've forgotten
anyone.
Sorry,
man. But
Hood Chronicles on YouTube, all the Toronto mans, man.
Yeah, and it's dope because you've paved the way for just this new YouTube audience and just these new creators now. Because just like you said, the Mind Soul, I believe it's Hood Six TV, they started their own, I don't know if you're aware, but like their own, you know, Savages of the Six and like Mobs of Canada and stuff. How is it when you see these videos? Like, I feel like, damn, like I really inspired this new generation.
Nah, you know what? It's funny, man. I just feel like I'm part of this whole wave that's going on right now, man. I feel like there were people doing stuff similar to what I was doing before I was around. You know, I kind of added to it, added my own spin, kind of added my own just crazy personality angle, work ethic to it.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just always dope to see people doing similar stuff in different places. Like you say, all those videos like Savages of the Six, I was just sitting there watching every one of those for hours. When I was researching this video, I was just like, I got to learn anywhere I could go to learn about what was going on in the Six. I was going everywhere. Torontology on Reddit, every Toronto-based YouTube channel. So shout out to every one of those channels that are doing their thing, man. I think I said it at the end of my video, but I think that is such an important service to the community and to the scene, because if these channels don't exist, or if these subreddits don't exist, these stories, you know, these these details, the background to the music that everybody's loving just gets lost. So I think it's super important, man. And I just feel like I'm blessed to just be a part of the whole scene. And I think a lot more people are going to kind of come up and go and do different things in every city, every space, every genre. So it's lit.
Yeah, super dope, man. I love to see it. I love to see it. Really quick, before we get into the interview aspect, there's something that's been going on in our city that went, man, you know, kind of viral. But it's a question I want to ask you. Is Presa and Smiley considered Toronto underground, in your opinion? Because Friday put out this top 30 underground rappers in Toronto, and Presa and Smiley were 1 and 2. And he kind of got backlash, and not really, but people were saying Presa and Smiley are not underground anymore. Like, they're out of here.
What I agree. You know what? This is how I feel. Yeah, this is how I would break it down. It's like, if you're just focusing on Toronto or Canada, they're not underground. Like, they've recently become the mainstream artists, because you know, they, as far as rap, like real rap, people that are into rap and hip hop, like, that's who they're going to be looking at, right? But then on the flip side, you know, Canada's just got a ridiculous amount of big artists that are there was something going around the other day. You guys might have even posted, I can't even remember who posted it, but a thing showing it was just like the top 5 or 10 selling artists in the world. And it was like Drake, Bieber, Weeknd, a couple others, just all Canada artists. And some people don't even know. And then it's like, if you think more of a worldwide perspective, then yeah, you'd put Presa and Smiley underground, because I feel like someone like Presa, you know, he's like a king in Toronto, but like, people are just still discovering him. Like, people in the UK are just still coming around to it, just still peeping the lingo and beginning to understand what it's all about. But I, you know, I think with time, like, he'll become a top tier artist around the world as well, man. I feel like he's got that potential. I feel like the city's got a lot of artists that have that potential. You know, it just takes some time to get there. But man, would I consider them underground artists from a worldwide perspective, but not from a Canada, if you know, if that makes sense.
Because that's how I was looking at it. Like, Smiley, I can understand, because not a lot of people still know Smiley's name, but with Presa being on Coil Ray and Shade Room, Lip Service Interview, Adam 22, I feel like with his stardom now, he's kind of gone over, and I think, to me, in my opinion, he ain't underground no more.
It's a funny one, because I feel like so many people have discovered Presa through this relationship with Coil Ray, and like, people don't understand, like, I don't know, the story behind Presa, say, or even just like the reality of, like, you know, some of what he's talking about, some of the like gritty situations that he's been through and that kind of go into his music. I think a lot of people are just looking at him like, oh, that's Coil Ray's boyfriend, like, clowning him. But it's like, nah, man, no, Presa, like, deserves your respect. Like,
yeah, like, he really raps and he really gets shit done, man. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I was thinking when I dropped this Toronto video, and I just kind of go in detail and just like how real the situations are, I was like, bro, I bet a lot of people are going to watch my video and be like, damn, like, Presa is real, or, you know what I mean? Just like,
yeah,
like,
right.
I got a friend, I won't say who it was, but I was chatting to them about the video, and they were like, they were just saying, like, I was saying I was doing this Toronto video, and they were just like, bro, whatever you do, just don't make fun of Presa, like, how he looks. And I was like, bro, this is a serious video. I'm not going to make fun of Presa. And they're like, don't say the stuff everyone's saying about Presa. I was like, bro, I know, I ain't making fun of Presa, bro. Like, that's what's going on, but. Right, Presa, man. Music's fire as well. So talented, man. What legend.
Yeah, super dope. Super dope artist. And hopefully Friday will probably send you his top 30, and he'll, you know, one day you can just go over and be like, yeah, this is kind of crazy still.
That list.
Hell yeah, bro. Hell yeah.
Got into the list a little bit.
Let me throw in a quick question also, right? A couple of corrections. I don't know if you went over this because I didn't have my headphones on. Ottawa is our capital. Okay. Toronto is not our capital.
No, listen. Okay, so here's the thing, right? Everyone was on my case. I saw the comments saying Ottawa is the capital.
Yeah.
I was like, hang on a minute. No, that's not what I said. I didn't say that Toronto is the capital of Canada. I said Toronto is the capital of the District of Ontario.
He's right.
But I caught myself slipping, though, because I saw the comments and I was like, fuck. I was like, oh, I fucked up. I'm tripping. Like, I fucked up. And then I went back. I was like, oh, I'll chop it out. And then I looked at, I double checked, and I was like, oh, the way I worded it. But like, probably when you hear it fast, it just sounds like I'm saying, oh, Toronto is the capital. So like, I had to double check Wikipedia. But the way I said it, it was like it was the capital of Ontario, the capital city of Ontario, not the capital of Canada. I was ready to take the L. I did make another mistake in the video. I said somewhere like, yeah, Drake came up with the nickname Six. Like, you know, I didn't even know what I was saying, but then everyone was in the comments like, nah, Drake didn't come up with a Six. And I was just like, that. Sometimes, bro, these videos, I'm going for an hour and a half. Sometimes I just slip a little something in there, or I say something and it's just like, I don't even think about what I'm saying. I make a mistake. Yeah. There was another mistake in the video. People were on my case. I said fucking... I said Smoke Dog's Trap House got 40 million views when it was 4, and it, you know what I mean, I was just reading my script, I said 40 instead of 4, and then I didn't notice it in a video. I felt like a goof, but I think I managed to take it happens, bro. You know, hour and a half, man, it's just hard to say everything perfectly, man. But if I get something wrong, I always throw my hands up and take the L, man. I can't be out here pretending like shit's right when it ain't.
That's light, man. Well, I say that to say, because there's a couple questions I have off of that, right? One, have you ever had anybody else hit you up asking, you know, hitting you up about an error in a video, like any other city or any other like individual that you do videos on, like, nah, this is wrong and this is wrong, directly, because we're getting to speak to you directly, right? And like to let you know the errors, but you get to see them in the comments. But have you spoken to anybody else directly, like, nah, man, that's wrong?
Oh man, I can't really think of it, to be honest. No, but I always see it in the comments. And like, I remember like one of the early mistakes I made, I made a video and I just said something about Young Dolph, and I just said he was from Atlanta. I was just like, Atlanta rapper Young Dolph. And I wasn't even thinking about what I was doing. It was just like, it just came out. And it was like, I was talking about some other Atlanta shit. I just didn't think about what I was doing. I was like, then people in the comments like, Dolph ain't from Atlanta. And I'm like, fuck, he's not, knew that. But bro, so sometimes shit flips through the net. I always see it in the comments. And, you know, if I can, if it's something stupid or I feel like it takes away from the video, I try and edit out a mistake, you know, and, or even I put it in the comments before and just said like, yo guys, by the way, like I took an L, I got this wrong. But bro, you know, it's a lot to fact check. I haven't team, it's just me and an editor, and I do all the research purely by myself. So, you know, I try and just be as meticulous as possible, but sometimes I get that out and get a fact wrong, bro. It's tricky, but I can't say I've really been pressed for like getting shit wrong. Not really, but the comments, bro, they're on me in the comments. If I fuck something up, the comments will be on me, bro. They don't hold back.
And that's crazy that you said that, because I was always thinking like, the research that you do you have a team? Because it's so much information that you get for one video. Like, how much time do you do researching just for like, let's just say the Toronto video? How much time did you research before you actually made the video?
That was probably like 2-3 weeks, and that's like solid research every day of the week. I work super hard, man. Like, you know, not, I don't want to pat myself on the back about it, but just like the reality is like, I don't just like slap these videos together. I just pull a bit of info from Torontology, some shit from somewhere else. Like, you know, I sit down every single day of the week. You know, I rarely take weekends off, bro. I wake up, I walk to my desk, and I just sit, I just read, I learn everything I can about whatever the topic is that week. And, you know, it's just me. Like, I have an editor. She is dope, but she's not like a hip hop head. Like, she's not helping me with the research or anything. So it's, you know, my role is I got to find the facts and find out what's going on and find out like all of the details that I think are interesting. And it's just me. Like, I'm sat here right in this chair where you're looking at me sat on this screen, just reading, learning everything. Toronto video, that was probably like 2-3 weeks of just solid research. A normal video, you know, if it's just a little 10-minute video, I might research for like 2-3 days. If it's like a 20-30 minute video, might be a week. And then for these like hour long sort of full length documentary type vids I do, that's like at least 2 weeks, sometimes 3. Jacksonville video, I think that was a solid month, just pure everyday research, news articles, listening to songs, looking at lyrics, just trying to piece it all together. But bro, I love it. Like, I couldn't think of anything better to do with 2 weeks than listening to like Toronto drill music I haven't heard before. Like, to me, that's lit.
And you started with other types of videos too, because like, I've watched you talk about it in your videos. Like, you started with like Upstart videos and stuff like that. Like, were you enjoying doing those videos, or was it like, let me just try something to see if I can get my YouTube audience up?
I was enjoying it, bro, because I did YouTube for so long and nobody was watching. Like, I was getting no views. I'd get like 10 views every time I upload, like nothing. That's like two of my friends laughing at me and shit, you know what I mean? So it's like, I was just doing anything. A lot of people get at me. It's like, oh, you know, you're just doing hip hop videos because it's the way. But it's like, bro, I've listened to nothing but hip hop my whole life. I love hip hop. And like, you know, I was just doing YouTube videos on all different types of things for a while. I was sort of chasing, like trying to find what works. I was trying to find my own voice, but also like, I was just having fun with it. It wasn't going anywhere, but I must have made over 100 videos before anything popped off for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know why I kept doing it. I just enjoyed it. But at a certain point, you know, it was just like, I love hip hop. I should just like make some more detailed videos. It's like, I'd done a few rap related reactions here and there, like, where nobody was watching me.
Yeah.
And they would always get like copyright strikes or like no one would watch them and shit. So it was only when I started telling stories and like actually putting my passion and like knowledge about the music into the videos that people started to pick up and be like, oh, this guy's actually like saying something interesting. And like, oh, this guy's telling a story like I haven't heard before. And then I guess I didn't realize it at the time, but just the idea that like, you know, each of my videos is about somebody famous. It's kind of like people can come to the channel and like, you know, favorite rapper, I've probably got two or three videos about their favorite guy, potentially, depending on who it is. But it just happened naturally over time, you know, and I was doing just all sorts of shit, man. None of it was working out, but I just kept going for some reason, bro. I don't even know why I kept going. I look back, I'm like, why did I keep doing that shit? But
right.
Just did do it.
What video was it that actually took off and you're like, yo, I might have something here?
I did my Jay-Z shooting his brother when he was 12 video. That was like the first, that was like the first video. Trap Lore video where I was like, I'm gonna tell a story. Cause before that, it's funny, I don't think anybody's seen this video, but it's like, that's the first video that's on my channel now. But I actually did like a trap or like a rap history video before that, but it was UK. I don't know if you know the UK rapper, Russ.
Of course, Russ.
Russ
Gun Lean and Gun
Lee. Hey, yes. Hell yeah.
Why everybody hates Russ?
So I did a video
Russ.
About the Gun Lean. Everybody hates Russ. Well, I did that one. I did that one in the middle, but before all of this shit, I did a video about the Gun Lean video. Like Gun Lean had dropped at the end of 2018, I think.
And it got banned, didn't it?
There's a whole long story. I need to do a whole video about it, but like it got taken down. He got sued. He had to change his name and shit. But I just did a video about that song. And then like the car, he had like a Lambo in it. There was kind of like a story about the Lambo in it. I did that video. It didn't bang. It was a UK thing. But then I did the Jay-Z shooting his brother video. And it was like, I sort of felt for the first time, I just stumbled upon the idea of like, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it as a story. I'm going to kind of tell the whole story. I'm going to explain like where Jay-Z is at in his career now. I'm going to kind of go back and I'm going to explain what happened and just give people everything they need to like understand what happened. And then also just putting my personality in there, making jokes. Like I'm a kind of sarcastic, fucked up, like
yes.
Fucking whatever kind of guy. So like, you know, especially my earlier videos, like, you know, when I'm talking about serious topics, I don't make too much fun of the situation, but like my earlier videos, you know, there's just little jokes in there. I was making fun of people, cracking little jokes, being sarcastic and shit. And so I did that. That didn't blow up, but it got more views than like any of my shit before. It probably got a little like 2,000 views. And I was like, damn, like 2,000 in a couple of weeks. That's more than usually I get nothing. So after that, I was like, man, I'm just going to keep going with this rap stuff because I was enjoying it and I was actually getting somewhere. But nothing really blew up. I did a video on like Gucci Mane's case. I did a video on like the UK drill scene. I think I did a video on like Young Thug and Lil Wayne's beef. But the video that first blew up for me, I did Frank Ocean finessing Def Jam for $20 million with his like finessed his album release. And that was the first video that like really got pushed like beyond just, you know, me posting on Reddit and shit. Like that video, I don't know how fast it was, but within a few weeks it had like a million views. And I'd never had anything go past like a few thousand. That shit was crazy. I couldn't believe it. I was like, this must be a mistake. Like, how's my Frank Ocean bit got 100K views today? Like, what the fuck? Like, who's even watching this shit? But from there, it was basically just like, it was on. I was able to monetize. I was able to start making just a little bit of cash from the channel. And I just, as soon as I saw the opportunity, I was like, people are liking these vids. I just said to myself, I was like, I'm going to go hard. I'm just not going to stop until, well, I just ain't going to stop. So
yeah.
I just kept going, bro. Since then, like I haven't stopped, man. As soon as I saw this was going somewhere and I just was like, I can make a living and entertain people talking about the shit that I love. I was like, bro, they ain't going to get rid of me, man. They let me through the door. I'm making these videos. I'm loving this.
Yeah.
Cool.
And even like in those early videos that you talked about, I don't remember because I've watched all of these videos, right? But I don't remember if you had any ads going on in those videos at the time. Because your ads, you go in. You like, you do a whole fucking rap song on your ads and stuff like that.
Thank you, bro.
And they're wicked, right? Did they find you, or did you approach them?
It's a mixture, really, man. I thought the feds were coming for me for a second. Then.
No, I'm in the middle of downtown. It's crazy.
About to do the dash, man.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of downtown. It's a mess out here.
It's all good, bro. It's all good, man. It's all good. Sponsors. Bro, I didn't get sponsors for a long ass time, and then only when I was far. I'd made a lot of videos before I started getting sponsors. Mm-hmm. It's just like see that got in touch with me, and they were like, look, you know, your vids are doing well, you know, your view counts are getting pretty healthy, do you want to do some sponsored reads? And I was like yeah, but I don't want to do them like a boring way. I think I did one or two like the normal way, where I'm like, hey guys, like, let me tell you about this deal. And I was like, it's so whack, it seems so forced, like, fact. I just wouldn't do that. And then I just came up with the idea. I was like, can I rap them? Like, I asked the guy, I was just like, bro, can I rap this? Like, I make rap videos. Like, I like fucking around rapping. Like, you played the song at the start. Like, mm-hmm. I've been just messing around making little rap songs since I was a kid. So I was like, can I do a song? And they were like, sure, if you want. And, you know, I threw one together, and I think they were kind of impressed of just like, oh, you actually made a song out of the shit. I feel like, you know, maybe they thought I wasn't going to do it.
Yeah.
But I did it, and the sponsor liked it. And ever since then, I just thought, you know what? I feel like it is a really good way of just like showing people that I just want to make more effort than the average. You know, it could easily just be like, yeah, you know, I got this product here, you know, click the link, buy one of these. But I want people to just show like I'm actually trying to make the effort. You know, I feel like that comes across in the research in my videos, but mm-hmm. then like the same with the sponsors, bro. I just want people to look and be like, oh, this guy fucking got up and like made the effort to make this lit rather than boring. I just want that to permeate through everything I do, man. I just want people to think like, oh, he made the effort.
Cool. I wanted to go back at Rust, because you're talking about Rust, mm-hmm. the UK artist. Well, not really Rust, but just the UK artist. You do like your UK drills up in.
Mm.
Do you ever do videos and they get at you? Like, are any of these guys paid you? Because you're actually in the UK, and the same with us. Like, we focus more on Toronto artists.
Mm.
They see us on road, they're definitely gonna say, "Hey, God, it's Friday, come, we got a issue with you about something." Have you ever been caught on road, or any of these guys see you in videos?
No, thank God, man. I've not been caught lacking on road at any point. But I don't talk about a lot of UK stuff. I'll be honest, especially when I started this. Been interested in both the UK and the US, but my interest skews more towards the US. Generally, I would say like 80-90% of my content is US based, and then like, you know, a little 5-10% is UK with a mixture of a couple other places. But like realistically, I've never had a problem with the UK. I had major problems with the US either. I've probably had like one or two people like, you know, diss me or just say like fuck this guy or like whatever. It really doesn't happen, to be honest. I feel like either most people, they're just unaware, or they just don't care. They're like, you know, whatever. Some people like me as well, some people fuck with it, but I haven't been caught lacking, thankfully. I don't talk a lot about the UK, partly because I just find the US so interesting, and I also think that it sounds dumb, but I just think Americans enjoy hearing a British guy talk about the US just because it's unusual. And it's just sort of like a lot of people look at me and they hear me and they think this guy won't know shit about hip hop. And that's fair enough. But I think when I open my mouth and I start speaking, people are like, oh, you actually know what you're talking about. Like, you really love this shit. So, I guess it makes more sense for me to do the US shit. And I think it just fits in better. So I don't think I've done enough UK stuff to warrant it. And to be honest, like I wouldn't make too much fun of a UK artist just because of that reason. I guess.
And who else are you feeling out there right now
in UK?
In the UK, because I'm the UK, like, man. I work with the UK artists heavy.
Hella people, bro. I'm just Digga D, cool, Digga D's cool, Digga D's cool, Lowski, Central Sick. I'm trying to think like someone maybe
Lowski. It's funny that you said Lowski, because he actually has been having a back and forth with a couple of Toronto artists out here. I don't know if he's
I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to inherit Lowski's beef. I just like his music, but he's killing it though. Lowski's music's been sick. It kind of relates to that whole thing with that beef. But like, you know, Lowski. You know, I don't know if you know, but like for a while he was locked up for quite a while. It was like it didn't look good for him. You know, it looked like he was done. At least a lot of people. He managed to make his way out of jail. He beat his case. And ever since he got back, he's just been going so hard. I personally think like everything he's dropped since he got out has just been fire. Mm. There's a guy called Blanco. So Lowski and Blanco are like related with like the Harlem Spartans.
Yeah.
Blanco's hard. He's got a mixtape that's out, City of God. It's fire. K-Trap is sick. He's got a new tape out called Rappo. That's been hard. Tion Wayne, absolutely fire. He just dropped an album, Green with Envy, and it's got like, you know, it's got like some US features. Polo G's on there, so that was crazy. Ooh. For a UK rapper to kind of do so much. It was just sick. So Tion Wayne, I love everyone, man. Hedy One's just dropped a new project today. I haven't had time to listen to it, but I'm trying to hear that. Ooh. Like, I'm probably gonna get off here and listen to that new project. Who else in the UK, man? I want to say everyone. I said Millions is good, yeah. As well. Millions.
I like Millions.
Fire, yeah, love Millions.
I like, yeah, Ambush. I like Ambush. I think he's a little bit older, but I like Ambush. I just like the wave out there in the UK, and I've seen like Toronto artists have inherited their music. Mm-hmm. The New Yorkers, I don't care what anybody says, the New Yorkers have taken the UK sound more than anything. So,
but this yeah. is the thing, bro. This is the thing that gets me, right? Because I feel like the UK, so it's almost like. Basically, right, Chicago invented this drill shit. Mm-hmm. And the UK kind of like took elements from it, but like over the course of like, it was like 2014 to like 2018, like UK, we basically like reinvented the whole sound into like our own thing.
Yeah.
And that sort of moved its way on over to New York. I don't personally care, bro. I want to hear more rappers around the rapping on UK drill beats, because in my opinion, the UK drill style beat that we have now is the hardest beat just in the world. Right. That's why Pop Smoke is a fire rapper, don't get me wrong, but like, bro, the guy was rapping on just the hardest UK beats and everyone loved it. I don't know why more rappers aren't just jumping on these hard UK beats and just winning, because it's like a formula, bro. Like they got that new posthumous Pop Smoke album. There's like no UK beats on there. It's like, bro, this is the essence of what made Pop Smoke's music so lit. Hard beats, like the way Dior hits, it's just crazy. And it's like, I feel like American artists, they're just completely overlooking the fact that like, bro, if you're a half decent rapper and you jump on a UK drill beat that's hitting hard like Dior or like Gatti, you're gonna blow up. Like, I don't know why more US Canada rappers aren't doing it. A lot of people are, like 22G's has got a lot of fire rapping over UK beats. Fabio Foreign, he picks the most fire beats. He had Kanye on his album dropping a drill beat for Fabio to rap on. Like, if that's not enough proof that the UK sound is fire, bro, like, I don't know, man. I just want to see more American rappers and Canadian rappers jump on it.
Me too. I agree. I'm with you on that one.
With your raps, right? Because you mentioned that you were a rapper once upon a time, right? And you obviously, mm-hmm. you see the skills in your commercials and in the ads and stuff like that. Like, you're in the pocket, fam. Can you give us a little bit of Trap Lore, the rapper, like, you know, pre the YouTuber? And what was your rap name before?
Man, there's not much to it, man. There's not much to it. I didn't really even have a rap name. I was just kind of fucking around. And like, bro, it's so strange, because it's just like, recently, I'm talking like a couple of weeks ago, I just deleted a lot of, because I had a few songs on my page. Mm-hmm. I just got rid of them recently because I just feel like I'm trying to focus on being a dope YouTuber.
Yeah.
And like, rapping's a bit of a distraction, you know. And I don't see myself as a rapper, or like, I don't want to blow up as a rapper. I mean, it would be cool. I imagine myself like, oh man, if I was a rapper, I was on stage, like busting rap, like that would be sick. But it's like, bro, like, I'm a YouTuber. I'm sick at YouTubing. I make videos that are like that are really fire, and they're different to what's out there at the moment. And I don't think as a rapper, I can offer anything different to what's out there other than the fact that I like rapping and I just want to rap and it's fun. Mm. So I guess like for me recently, I've just tried to really focus and be like, rapping is for fun and it's for business. And it's a way of me making like my sponsors just like more exciting. But I don't really see myself as a rapper. But sorry, to answer your question more, to like jump back, you know, you played the song at the start. That was like me rapping when I was 9, just fucking around, like having a good time. And then like just all the way through being a teenager, I was just rapping for fun, like not even releasing shit. Just like, my older brother used to make beats, mm-hmm. and like I would just, you know, I would just get on his equipment and just record a few little songs on his beats and shit. I wouldn't even do anything with the songs. Like even now, hella, like last year I recorded a bunch of songs and I was just like, don't want to do anything with these. They just, I enjoyed making them. But yeah, man, it's just a funny one. I don't think people really want to hear me rap like that. But like, I thought it was fun to just pop up here and there and be like, here's a little sponsor. Like, here's a little, you know, in some of my older videos where I'm making more jokes, you know, I'll do little bits where I'll kind of joke and like make a little fake song or some shit.
Yeah.
To put in the video. But yeah, I don't know, man. I love rap. I love rapping, but like, I'm just trying to focus on YouTube right now, man. I'm just trying to focus on making my videos the best they can be. And I think trying to be a rapper or just rapping shit is like a bit of a distraction for that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there anything you won't talk about in your videos? Because you clearly bring up anything. Is there some stuff you come across or maybe information you come across and you're like, I don't want to touch on that?
There is. I feel like this is the thing, I feel like people do sort of say like, you know, talk about anything or whatever. I think my thing is, it's just like, I only work with secondary sources. People reach out to me in the DMs, they say, oh, I've got info about this scene, or like, oh, I know about this, or like, oh, I heard this. And I'm just like, I don't want inside info, because I don't want to. I know some people might see me as like exposing people. I don't want to expose people. My job is, I sit here at this desk, I go on Google, I go on Reddit, I go on everywhere I can, and I just take all the information that's already out there and I just put it in order so you can understand it, and I just tell the story so you can understand it. So it's kind of like, if it's out there, like if it's out there and it's verifiable, I'll try and put it in. There's a lot of unverified shit I don't feel like I can put in the video. Like, so, you know, sometimes there's like a fact, and I think if you listen carefully, you'll notice this. There's certain points, even in the Toronto video, where I say stuff like, and you know, this person suggested that this might have happened, but we can't verify that. So I don't know whether or not that's true, but what we do know is X, Y, Z. And to me, I think it's important to like give the audience, what's the word? Like, treat the audience like adults and just be like, like, okay, here's the information that's out there, and I can't verify like this fact, but like, here's the info, here's like an artifact that relates to it, make your own mind up about it, and here's something from a call that I can verify as facts. But that said, there's only a handful of times, but there's a couple times where I've come across little bits of information that are like details or even like incriminating things. And if something goes too far, or if it's something that's like really hidden away that I feel like I shouldn't have found, or like I feel like it's something that's just like not on the beaten path, I feel like certain things I'm just like, I'm just gonna leave that where I found it. That's not for the video. And like, I'm just trying to deal with the facts that are out there, you know. This, the stuff I talk about in my videos, like, you can go and find out if you just Google it. You'll find the article, you'll find the Reddit post, or you'll find the lyric and the song on Genius in 5 minutes. So I'm really not exposing anyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes I very occasionally I'll find the odd detail, and it's especially like the old stuff where maybe some detail has been overlooked, and I'm just kind of like, nah, I'm not putting that in.
It's like, you can leave that over there.
Yeah, Camille, certain things.
Can we give Camille her flowers, man? Because like, she does the voiceovers. She does an amazing editing job. You know what I'm saying? Can you? How does she come to the table and let the people know what she brings to the table?
Man, that's a lit question. I appreciate that, man. Camille's gonna love this. That's lit that you even plugged in enough to know what's going on, man. It's crazy. She came to the table. Oh man, I forget. But like I told you before, like when that Frank Ocean video popped off, I was able to like get my channel monetized. It wasn't a lot, but I was earning a little money from the video, from the videos. And I could see that I could see what I was doing was going somewhere. So one of the first things that I did, because I was editing videos myself, it was taking a long time. So bear in mind, at the start, I would sit down for days. I'd research the video. I'd write the whole script, everything down. I'd film it. And then I'd fucking edit the whole thing as well. So it was a lot of work. And then by the time I got to the end, I'd drop the video. I'd be exhausted. And then I'd be like, shit, I need to drop another one next week. Because I didn't miss a weekly upload for like a year when I first got going. But as soon as a little bit of money came in, I didn't really take that money and do anything with it. The first thing I did was like, I need to find an editor. I need to find someone that I can pay, get on board so that I can focus on the research. Because the research was where I was adding the most value. Like, you know, I'm a fucking hip hop nerd at the core. I can find out just everything and everything about a hip hop topic or an artist. Editing, I fucking, you know, not that anyone can edit. Camille's a fire editor. She's a one of a kind. But it's just a case of like, for me, my skills are best focused on just like the input, the hip hop knowledge, the facts, and then packaging all of that up and then giving it to editor just makes things so much easier for me. So as soon as I was making a little bit of cash, first thing I did was can't remember what it was, but I found like a notice board for like film editors. I put up a job posting. I just said like, got channel that's just starting to get some action. Got a bunch of applications. I actually, what I did, and this is a bit of advice for anybody that's trying to hire an editor for YouTube or anything. What I did was I hired like three people to edit the same video at the same time. And then basically I just like decided who I would hire based on like who did the best job, who did the fastest, like who was reliable and shit. I paid them all. It was like, I just had this idea. I think somebody advised, like someone gave me this advice, but like, it was just like, oh man, if I can just like, just do that as like a challenge, then I'll find the person that's most reliable. You know, I'm paying three times the rate for one job, but then I found her, she was fire, so reliable. And I think the first video she edited for me, this is so funny. The first video she edited for me was the video on DaBaby killing a guy in Walmart. Mm. And that video today is my most viewed video. And shit just blew up. And it was just the weirdest things. It was like, I brought on this editor and I was kind of like, shit, man, I don't know if this is going to work out. I hope my videos keep going, because I was earning a little money, but like, I don't know if it was enough to pay her. It certainly wasn't enough to like pay her and keep some money for myself. I can't really remember, but like, I was just like, shit, man, I hope the numbers keep going up so that I can keep paying her. And then fucking first video she does was that DaBaby video, and she went clear. She went easy. And I was just kind of like, oh man, okay. I was like, this is good. And that brought attention to like all my videos, back my subs up big. I think I got like 30,000 subscribers off the back of that. And I was the only on like 10K or some shit, even less. Mm. So she just jumped in at the right time. And also, you know, her editing skills are fire. So she made the videos fire. So they were in good numbers because she's a killer editor. And from there, I was just like, damn, this is a great setup. And I think I started cranking out videos. There was a period of time when I was doing a video like every 3 days or some shit, you know, I was really just trying to get the shit going. And that was only made possible by her, because I could just write videos every day, finish one, start a new one, and she would just edit. And we just got it cracking, man. We just like, we got the channel, you know, from there to like 100K. And I was just like, I need you to come full time, you're fire. And she's been with me over 2 years now. And she's just dope. You know, it's great to just have someone so reliable, so good. Just as far as like, her style is sick. She's leveling up constantly. Her videos just get better and better and better. And she's dope, man. So I really appreciate you bringing that up. I hope she checks this out.
Yeah, shout out to Camille, man.
Yeah, man. You got Gutsy?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about Adam 22, a Wheel of Hip Hop alumna. How was your, like, how did you guys link up? And is there going to be any possible collabs in the future between you two?
Yeah, man. So big shout out Adam 22, man. That guy showed me a ridiculous amount of love. Bear in mind, this is a guy that I'd always looked up to. Like, he is a goat in the hip hop media scene. You know, he is like the one, he's up there on the Mount Rushmore with Academics and Vlad and Charlamagne. And just, oh, I hope I haven't forgotten anyone. Just like all the names, man. And he shows so much love. But I got to give a bigger shout out to my boy Lil House Phone from No Jumper. Awesome. He was on to me early. He was showing crazy love. So I was plugged in with House Phone early, and then he put Adam onto me. And then, like, you know, Adam started fucking with me a few of the videos, was feeling them. And so he reached out, and it's just, those guys just show crazy love, man. You know, super nice guys, super tapped into the culture, constantly showing love, just mentioning me here and there, just being like, oh, new Trap Lil Ross video is dope and shit. Like, honestly, it blows my mind, bro, because Adam's someone I've looked up to for years. Like, even before I was even trying to YouTube, like, seriously, I would watch his videos and I'd just be like, this is dope. I never would have thought I'd be meeting him or being interviewed by him. Like, shit, man. I just still, bro, even now it spins me out, man. Like, as you know, we talk, like, I'll get a text from Adam and I'll just be like, motherfucking Adam 22 really? Second. What? Yeah. I'm like, what's going on?
I seen he was even talking about the Young and Ace when Young and Ace went up and he brought you up and shit like that.
I was tripping, bro. I was tripping. Here's the thing, bro. Like, you know, people that know me in real life know this. But like, I really struggle to just like process like where I'm at in life, and like that I'm a known face in the scene and the reach I have and that people watch my bro. In my head, I even back when I was doing my first videos, the Jay-Z Frank Ocean, it's just like, I just can't, like, a million people ain't watching my videos. It's just not, I just can't process that shit, bro. That's not real. So like, man, just the idea of fucking Adam's got Young and Ace in the studio and he's like, oh, my boy made a long ass video about you. Did you watch it? And he's like, yeah, I watched it. I'm just like, I was watching that interview with Young and Ace and I was just like, I was tripping, bro. I'm like, they just started talking about me and I'm there. Imagine you're watching a video of like a rapper that you really like and admire and appreciate and you've spent weeks looking, thinking about. Motherfucker just starts talking about you, bro. It's the trippiest thing ever.
Yeah.
But I gotta just show so much love to Adam, man. That guy is just game changing. Like, he's just put me on so much, man. So love for that guy. I love the House Phone, the whole No Jumper team, man.
So quick question, another little side note, because my show's called Six Views Uncut, where I usually ask a whole bunch of like uncut questions.
Oh shit.
But for you, I'm gonna save you with that.
Yeah, man.
But
cut me a little.
What do you think of his Patreon content?
Bro, I think it's crazy, bro. I think it's crazy. Because here's the thing, right? Adam 22, I feel like he is one of the most unique media personalities in the game.
Yep.
He's got the YouTube thing going on. He's got the porno thing going on. He's now managing some crazy hot OnlyFans girl with his girl. And bro, this guy is the craziest empire. He's the ultimate free spirit. And now he's on Patreon. I saw him. He had C-Mac the Loke eating rice out of some girl's butthole. Like, what the fuck, bro? So, bro, I think it's fire, man. He's like the new Howard Stern on steroids. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
a new level. I look at what he does. Look, I'm not really trying to have sex on camera or some weird shit like that. But I respect it because that's what he wants to do. And he's not listening. People are like, oh, you shouldn't do porno. You can't have Crips eating butt on your Patreon. And he's like, fuck you. I'm gonna have Crip Mac eating a butt on Patreon. And he can do what he wants, bro. I think it's fire. It's not for everyone, but I think it's fire.
It's so funny that you said that because sex is so taboo in the industry too, right? They look at you if you do porn or anything, you won't be accepted or you won't work. And he's been able to do it, bro. That's so true.
Well, that's the thing, man. He just says, fuck it, I'm just gonna do what I want. And there are definitely people, probably certain angles, certain sectors of the media business or the more mainstream corporate, I don't fucking know, that wouldn't fuck with him. But at the same time, he doesn't, like, why would he care? Because he's getting, he's making peas, doing the shit he loves, smashing girls, doing all sorts of crazy shit. And it's just like, bro, like, why would you want to do some corporate shit when you're into that and you can just be having girls doing a madness on your Patreon,
right?
Probably making more money than would doing some corporate deal. And he's living his best life, man. Yeah, honestly, man. I respect that guy so much.
You know what you need to do? Tap into the interview that I did with him. It's on our channel right now. I did a one.
Oh, lit! I need to check that.
Yeah.
I got to check that, bro. I was watching the presser one before we jumped on, but I didn't realize you had one with him. I'm gonna check that later.
Yeah. It's crazy because it's like low key because it doesn't have as much views as the presser because our audience is so tapped into like Toronto shit that like sometimes we interview like we interviewed Pusheisty. It's not even close to where presser's numbers are. You know what I'm saying? And Pusheisty has back in blood. But one thing that you did mention, like artists like Young and Ace, like knowing about your stuff, right? But there's a few people like O3 Greedo got responded to your letter that you wrote to him in jail, right? So that was one thing.
He didn't respond to the letter, but he acknowledged it in a call with Adam. Once again, Adam putting me on, man. 22. He had a jail call with Adam. And then he basically said to Adam, like, yeah, Trap Lord like was on point and shit.
And Rick, was it Rick? No, 50 Cent, he wanted you to take down a video or something like that you mentioned in one of your videos at one point.
Yeah, I've never really told this story, so I never, bear in mind, I'm not trying to cap, I never heard from 50 Cent directly, but I got a takedown notice on a video about 50 Cent beefing with Rick Ross, and it was official takedown notice from his team. You know, I don't know whether he saw the video, whether someone in his team saw the video, was like, this makes him look bad or some shit. It got taken down. I back up because there wasn't actually, like, they couldn't really take it down. Like, it was, I didn't have his music in it or some shit, but whatever. It got taken down. But it was a funny one because it was almost like it made him look bad, but then also it didn't really, because I feel like at the end I kind of made it clear, like, 50 Cent's bankruptcy, he kind of like overcame that shit, you know? What I mean, it seems like it was a bit of a finesse, but obviously, like, there were aspects of the video that probably didn't make him look flattering, and I guess someone in his team was like, I'm gonna take this down. But that's the thing, so that was an early video. That here's the funny thing, I didn't even think of this actually when we were talking, but That was before my Frank Ocean video popped off, right? And that 50 Cent video was just going viral. Like, it was getting a crazy amount of views. It was getting more views than any of my other stuff had. So that was about to blow, and then it got taken down. So I kind of had this setback, and then I blew, like, sort of blew up later. I had a taste of it, and then it didn't go anywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but that ended up getting taken down. I got it back. But at the time, I was so salty, man. I made like two or three videos, like dissing 50, fucking making fun of him, and like going hard. I low key was like, I'm in a beef with 50. I'm going to diss him. He's going to reply. I didn't hear shit. Obviously, I didn't hear shit from 50. But I don't know. It was a learning experience, man. It was an L, but it was an L.
You don't even know. He probably sent us up to you on a song, and you probably didn't even catch it,
bro. If I was listening to a 50 Cent song, said some shit about me, bro, that'd be like Christmas. Even if you diss the fuck out of me, you say you Trouble or Ross is the biggest bitch in the game, I'd be like, yes!
That's going straight to the Trapmore channel. I'm seeing that right away on the Trapmore Ross channel. That's, there's a review going on that right away.
Bro, you're talking, we're talking big thumbnail, 50 dissed me. Like, fuck yeah. I'm waiting for that video, bro. I'm waiting for that video.
Okay, one more person.
Last question.
Oh, sorry, Guts, before your question, one more person.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
These guys here. The Owl Boys.
Drizzy Drake, man. OVO. OVO. OVO goon, man. I'm still in hiding from the OVO goons. Okay. All right, here we go.
Listen, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to just... Disclaimer, I am not an OVO affiliate or anything. All my drip is free. However, I'm not an affiliate. Okay, I don't work for the team. Have they ever gotten at you, bro?
What are you doing? I thought you were OVO K.
They low key call me. Oh, thank you. They low key call me OVO Ricky, right? But
OVO Ricky. No, look. Okay, here we go. While I'm gonna break this down for you, right? Because I'm on a Canada platform. I feel like this is important. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So at the start of my career, when I started making videos, bro, you like I said earlier, I'm very sarcastic. I like taking the piss. I don't know why. I just found myself flaming Drake constantly because he's the biggest rapper, the way I see it, right? And bear in mind, I was a nobody. So I was thinking, no one's ever going to see this. I was just flaming Drake at any point. I was making fun of the girls he was with. I was just flaming him because to me, if you're the biggest guy in the game and Drake is the biggest rapper to ever do it, that's facts. Okay. There's no one's got a candle to Drake. Okay. When you're the biggest, you are the man that gets made fun of, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to make fun of some local rapper that you've never heard of who's going to come and actually fucking hurt me. Drake's Drake. Okay. So I was just making fun of Drake. I was just clowning Drake. I was just roasting Drake. Then when I did my interview with Adam22, he asked me about Drake and I was like, I said the same shit to Adam. I was like, bro, if a rapper ever pulls up on me and is mad about something I said to him, I'm apologizing straight away, bro. I'm not on any kind of smoke. I'm just a little goofball, bro. Like, I'm apologizing. But he posted that clip of me talking about Drake with the headline, like, what was it? It was like Trap Lord Ross on fearing for his life for dissing Drake repeatedly. It pushed the narrative that like I'm OVO K and the Drake goons are after me, bro. They're gonna do me like fucking detail or some shit. So like it pushed the beef, man. And low key, I basically got to a point where I think I said to myself, like, you know what? It's just getting kind of corny dissing Drake all the time, making fun of him and his girls and shit. Like, realistically, I love Drake. If I was doing my top five rappers, Drake is in top five. So like, bro, I'm just making fun of him. I'm just clowning Drake. But like the reality is I've decided like I'm not going to clown Drake so much anymore because like, at the end of the day, it's corny. And also like I like Drake. I actually like the guy's music. Like, and now that I'm at this point where it's like I've actually got an audience and like I doubt Drake's ever fucking heard of me. But like I've got this audience and like, you know, me dissing, making fun of Drake's going to get out there. And it's just kind of like, you know what? I don't want to do that shit anymore, man. And like if I saw Drake and he didn't have the OVO goons pop me, I'd apologize to him in person, man. Sorry, Drake.
Well, if you catch me this...
I love Drake, man. I love Drake. His music's fire. Man, maybe you catch... Maybe you'll catch
he'll catch it,
man,
because he watches my show a lot. He likes us. Drake, he watches my show a lot and he picks a lot from my show. We'll see Drizzy. That, Drake.
Drizzy, call off the shooters, man. I'm no threat. Call off the shooters, man.
Chubbs.
I'm nothing, I'm a peon, bro. I'll
fall back.
Yo, Gilla, I don't even know these people. I don't even know. I've just heard the names of the songs. I don't even want to shout out specific people. I'm about to get, bro. The OVO guys are going to be
We'll bring you on. You'll be on our side of the basketball team when we do OVO versus We Love Hip Hop basketball team at the compound. You'll be on our side, man. Don't worry.
You'll be
bro,
the winner.
I got no basketball skills, bro. I'm fucked. Bro, basketball, I'm going to be the cheerleader, bro. Put me in a little OVO, tank top. I'll be the cheerleader on that shit.
Yeah. We'll have you commentating on the side or something. Don't worry, we got you.
No, I'm just wondering. No, I'm glad that
yeah,
we...
no, for real though. Like, sorry, go on.
No, I'm just, you know, go. You go. You go.
I was just going to say, man, for real, like, you know, I love making fun of Drake. I love making fun of people. It's just funny. But like, Drake is a fucking one of a kind artist, bro. And like, I fucking love Drake's fire. So, you know what I'm saying? Guy's fire.
Yeah, no, I just because I've seen so many videos and I'm being in my apartment just cackling. My neighbors are probably like, "What's going on over there?" Right? I just wanted to make sure to get that there cleared up because there's like maybe four different videos. You know what I'm saying? So I know eventually they'll probably spin back around and then they'll see this and be like, "Nah, it's all love." You know what I'm saying?
Well, this is the thing. I've slowed it down so you don't catch me dissing Drake too much nowadays. I think the last time I dissed, was the last time I dissed Drake, because I remember I put in a video and I made a joke about Drake and it was really mean because I just make the meanest jokes I can think of. And I remember saying it and I was like, man, I got to stop dissing Drake. I just got to stop this shit. I'm addicted. It's just like, you know what I mean? Because it's so easy because Drake's so famous. He's been involved in so many things, so many situations that like there's always a joke where you can just like slip Drake in there and make fun of the guy because he's so famous. And here's the thing, right? Here's what I want to get to. Bro, people are saying Drake's the new Michael Jackson. I agree. Drake has had more of a musical impact on me and my generation than Michael Jackson ever did. And bro, Michael Jackson got the shit, like Michael Jackson was mocked endlessly for many reasons. But like, you know, Drake is the new Michael Jackson. And bro, part of the territory when you're the new Michael Jackson is people take the fucking piss out of you constantly.
Sure.
They might flame you for that take.
The territory.
That take right there, Ross, they might flame you for that take though, because every time.
Bro, that's the. This is what I'm scared of, bro. Saying the wrong thing and getting
it. No, but it's not even the wrong thing, though. No, it's not the wrong thing because it's a true statement. Drake's of what he's done musically in the game, it's argued that it's probably bigger than Michael Jackson, bro. And Michael Jackson just got the same amount of... Michael Jackson actually got more heat because, fuck, he bleached his skin and did a whole bunch of crazy shit. Yeah, but like,
Michael Jackson was wilding, bro. I tell you what, I want to see the versus battle, bro. Hologram Michael Jackson versus Drake. Hologram Michael Jackson versus Drake.
You're saying that's the only person that can take Drake?
Bro, this is controversial, bro, and this is funny coming from a guy that likes to diss Drake, but bro, I think Drake would wash Michael Jackson. Like, Michael Jackson's got some hits, don't get me wrong. But Drake's got slaps too. I don't know.
Ross. You know what I mean? We have to change your name from Traveler to Hot Take Ross. All the old heads are going to be
like, no, but when you really break it down, he's not lying, though. Like,
bro, like, okay, let's break it down, right?
And before you say that, Ross, I didn't disagree yet. I'm just saying there's some old heads with some Tims, maybe a Jerry Curl who is like, whoa, no, how could you say that?
They're standing on their toes right now, mad.
No, but say what you're going to say.
One dance. No, I was just thinking One Dance doesn't even have a music video, and that's like one of his biggest songs ever.
It technically,
bro, this is the thing, man. And bear in mind, I don't know if you saw Academics drunk off the Henny talking about Drake being his top five on fucking stream the other day, but but he's right, bro. His albums, you forget how many slaps the guy has, bro. All the way back to his first album, bro. It's just, it's just so many bangers. You're just like, I forget how many. Like, it's just so many. Drake has just so many songs. He just has hits on hits. It's just nuts. And Michael Jackson wasn't dropping music at the rate Drake is dropping. Drake's hit rate is crazy. Michael Jackson, you know what I'm saying? He was dropping all the shit he dropped towards the end wasn't really slapping. So Drake, you know, I know not everyone was crazy about CLB, but it's got some joints and like people will look back and say it was hard.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Drake's the GOAT, even though I diss him all the time.
Hey, I fuck with it. I'm wearing an OVO sweater, yo. You ain't gonna hear no complaints from
me. Man.
Versus, let's make that happen. Go get that hologram of Michael and let's go get Drake and get a bag for that. Let's make that happen. I definitely watch
Imagine
that.
Imagine the bag, man. Imagine the bag for the Drake Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson's estate will be just caking.
Yeah, facts. Facts. You got anything else, Gutsy, before
but, before we get out here, you mentioned like the pressers, the smileys. Is there any other artists in Toronto that you're tapped into, that you're looking at and you're like, you know, you want to see more from them or you're just impressed by them?
Yeah, there is, but I feel like I'm going to get in trouble for saying it, you know.
Don't worry, we'll take the fact.
I'm not taking sides. I said it in my video. I love everyone from all sides, but I feel like at the moment, the music that Doovy's dropping is hard, man. Mm-hmm. You know, notwithstanding the disses on the switch, you know, I talk about it in my videos, but like I'd probably prefer if rappers going forward left that stuff out of their music, so setting that stuff to the side. But the vibe of Doovy's music I think is just like really interesting. I think it stands out from a lot of the stuff coming out of Toronto just as quite different and kind of more. I could just see him being more accepted by the Americans. So I feel like he is just fire. And like genuinely, I think I haven't heard the newest, because I know, I think he might have dropped one today, but Boondog, man, I feel like Boondog's songs are fire. Like, what was it? True Story. When I was doing all my research, I was just bumping True Story. Like, I don't know, man. Like there's just so many, I feel like he is going to go forward, and obviously I don't need to get into it here, but like his backstory is super interesting. He's been through a lot, and I feel like he's going to make a big impact. And yeah, you know, obviously they all don't get along, but like, you know, I think Doovy's got a lot of potential. I got a few Jay Neat songs that are floating around my playlist. I'm just flicking through, so make sure I haven't forgotten anyone off the top of my head. But bro, I don't want to offend anyone because there's so many good Toronto artists, and obviously there's a lot of beefs and stuff, which again is, you know, I break it down, but I don't want to pick sides or be involved. But man, you know what? I'm just super excited because I feel like the Toronto scene is like really beginning to like boil up, and I think a lot of artists are making that mainstream jump, and I just think it's going to be a good few years for the scene, man. So I'm just excited to have like learned everything I could about it. I'm excited to have kind of put something out there to try and convince like my audience that maybe wouldn't have thought to give a Toronto artist a spin, to give it a go, to understand the backstory and be like, you know what, I'm gonna bump that presser album, I'm gonna bump that new Doovy single, or you know, that new mad disrespectful top five joint that's come out or whatever. Like, you know, I feel like the Americans and the Brits are going to come around, and bro, I want to see some UK Toronto collabs, bro.
Yes.
Hell
yes.
I want to see more of that. Tell you what,
we got to make that happen. This is why we do stuff like this.
Facts, man. I want to see Loski and Presser squash their beef and everyone get on a song or some shit, bro. Because like, they're all so talented. And bro, like, I know I've listened to so much Toronto music. I listen to so much UK drill on a daily basis. It would sound fire, bro. It's like different styles, like mixing together. Bro, whoever the first UK rapper is to do a collab album with a Toronto rapper, that would go off.
Yeah, because Giggs did it with Presser. And Giggs reached out to a lot of Toronto artists. He definitely tried to do it. But we need to see more of that. Yeah, you're definitely right.
There was that, the one I mentioned it in the video, the Smoke Dog Skepta overseas. And that was way back in 2018.
Oh,
like,
yes.
That was like before the UK drill. That is such a hard song. I remember hearing that back then. I don't think I had any idea who Smoke Dog like really was at the time. But like, obviously Skepta jumping on this song, I remember just overseas. It's just so hard. Like, it's such a hard song.
Yeah.
10 gunshots. And then we like, it's crazy, like such a hard song. And like, you know what I mean? Just at the time, I was just like, damn, I was like, these Canadian guys has got a little something going on. And obviously, you know, just as the years have gone by, the scene has just built and built. But we've got to see more UK Canada link ups, man. That would be fire.
For sure. Yeah, man. But yeah. Yo, we got a lot of information here. We were like an hour here, man. This is a good chop up that we got here, man. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate it. Well, listen, I really appreciate you guys. I know I was a little nervous. I haven't done an interview in like a year and a half, man. It's crazy. But you guys showed me so much love, so much hospitality. You made me feel mad comfortable and relaxed. This was like the super chill. So I just want to say thank you for inviting me on. And thank you for like everything that you guys do for your scene, for the local scene. Because like I said earlier, man, it's like it's you guys putting the scene on your back and pushing it that's going to take it from what it is now to like, you know, the next Chicago. I'm just talking about musically, like, you know, the next big area that people are going to be like, I'm fucking with all rappers from Toronto, America, and the UK. And I feel like it's almost like the media's organizations and the bloggers, the Redditors, whatever, I don't think they get enough credit for like really pushing the scene forward. And it's like, you know, you guys, there's a lot of small things that you're doing to contribute to the scene going up. So I hope people appreciate that. I appreciate that. And, you know, I just want to, you know, it's good to know you guys, and it means a lot to me to have me on.
Yeah, thank you, man. And it means a lot to us because the same, man. You're doing a lot for the industry, bro. Like, not just for the UK, but for the world. So, like, thank you for the time, man. Traplord, friggin' Ross in the building. Six Views Uncut, man. Thank you so much.
Six Views Uncut.